there. I am Gary Gray, sitting in for Julie Ashton today, who is out traveling the world, as Julie is known to do. We are here at Hey Julie, only at julieland.com, and my guest today is the probably the king of adult agents, Derek Hay. Derek, how are you doing today?
Hi, good afternoon.
Is that introduction work? King of the adult agents? What do you fashion yourself
you're
as?
You're embarrassing me by saying that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But would that be true?
I don't know if it's true or not, but
okay.
I've worked hard, so.
Your reputation precedes you, that you are certainly well-regarded, and, you know, as I talk to people about this biz, you're now the go-to guy, which is a good thing.
Well, there was another agent in the business for 20-plus years. Many people know him, Jim South.
Sure.
And at one time, you know, Jim had a virtual monopoly as an agent in the business, and that's certainly not true for me, but I did play some part in changing that monopoly and bringing some new ideas into the industry as far as talent representation goes.
Certainly.
And now, of course, many people have followed in my footsteps, or
yeah,
and
a lot
so
of competition.
There's a lot of competition now. So, well, that's good. That's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as much as I know, when Jim was the only game in town, a lot of talent didn't have agents and were kind of floating around doing their own thing, it seemed. And
that's true.
Yeah,
that's certainly true. I think actually I was speaking with another agent last night. When I started Direct Models in the spring of 2001, relatively not that long ago, but I suppose 6 years in porn is
that's quite a long time. That's many lifetimes in this world.
I started in London, actually, a year before that. So I've actually had the company 7 years, but in Los Angeles, 6 years. At that time, I think you're right. I would estimate perhaps 25% of the total talent pool at that time had an agent.
Yeah.
And of that 25%, most of them were with Jim South. But now I would say it's really turned around. I would estimate probably 75% of the talent pool has an agent.
That sounds about right. Yeah, from just dealing with the people I've known and stuff. And so how do you feel, was the time right in the industry was expanding, that it made sense to go more in this direction? Was it an opportunity that you saw to kind of steer the business in that direction, or what kind of happened to turn it around from most talent not having agents to the way it is now?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. Like, I couldn't say any one particular thing. I mean, the business obviously changes, and it changes quite quickly, just like any industry, just like the car industry or the mainstream film industry or television or anything. Everything changes. Everything, different trends come and go.
Yeah.
But I suppose, not to keep trying to sort of put credit on ourselves, but, you know,
no, but
we
a
may
lot
have,
of it is due there.
We may have played a part in it, in that, you know, we take the industry very seriously, and we've tried to steer girls' careers and had a good deal of success with that, with, you know, some of the girls that have been with us for years, like obviously Hannah Harper, who
sure.
came with me to America and has had, you know, two exclusive contracts, one with Legend, one with Sin City. Was with Sin City for 3 years, and other well-known names like Shy Love, who I've represented for nearly 5 years, I think. And obviously, you know, we've maintained or worked with girls such as that and steered their whole careers. So I think other girls have seen that and thought, well, you know, I want a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide that having an agent is a good idea and that it's beneficial to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the business as a whole seems, in my opinion, to have changed a lot over the last 8 years. You know, if you take a Joy King creating Jenna or Samantha Lewis creating Tara Patrick, you know, those investments and the time spent, I think, has kind of allowed a lot of people to see, you know, maybe years ago people got in the business for a lack of options, and now you see those mega stars, and so it must be a lot easier for you to find talent now.
I mean, it's a lot easier to find talent.
It's a lot more to wade through, I would think.
It's a lot easier to find talent, and we mentioned how Jim South was his business. I'm not sure exactly, but 25 years or more he was in business, so he must have seen some changes. Although I think he went through a long period of time where he was sort of the only game in town, and certainly the biggest and baddest, and perhaps sat fairly easy in that position for a while.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was starting, or in my early days, it was tough to find talent. If you found an attractive girl who at the time was willing to do this, I always use the phrase was willing to do it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, which it felt like at the time. Could you find a girl that was attractive that was willing to do it? Then she was a gold mine. Now, it's not difficult to find attractive girls, and they want to do it. It's not are you willing to? There's plenty of girls that want to do this, that aspire to be the next Jenna Jameson or Tara Patrick or Gina Lynn or whoever. And it's just a question of, well, how serious are you? Will you actually get up every morning and go to work and do everything that's necessary to create success for yourself?
Because, I mean, that almost has to be one of the toughest aspects of your business, saying you book someone, they got to be there. And certainly some of the adult talent might need more hand-holding or wake-up calls or chauffeuring than others to make sure they get there, you know, just having dealt with talent for so many years that... I think the agents have helped that, the dependability factor of, you know, people will be there if they say they're going to be there, whereas before, you know.
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, you know, just when I started, you know, my business plan is not revolutionary. It was, like, relatively simple. If you book a girl from me, then I expect that girl to arrive on your set,
mm-hmm.
you know, or have a bloody good reason not to.
Yeah.
You know, and for so long it had been the case that people just accepted that maybe 50% of their talent wouldn't show
up. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which is mind-blowing because, mm-hmm. you know, of course these days for that to happen, it's so expensive,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it happens less.
And
I think having the other agents in the business, and we're competing against each other, it helps that too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, an agent's success depends on, you know, him being reasonably reliable, just as I suppose.
Absolutely.
An airline's
right.
record. We look at an airline's record of on-time departures and arrivals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%, you know, and that's why, you know, in the past... you know, dealing with one person or another back in the days where there weren't a lot of agents, you know, dealing with like a Lucky Smith or something, you know, back then who guaranteed girls would be there and they were. That was a nice thing. So now certainly it helps to have that in place. So talk me through this. A girl sends you an email, calls you on the phone, says, I want to get into porn. What's my next step? How does that usually work for you?
Well, if she's in Los Angeles or near to Los Angeles and can get to see us, then obviously I want to meet her in person.
Sure.
So she comes and meets me, and we talk about what she'd like to do, and I make a decision there and then whether we can work for her or not.
Yeah.
If she's not in LA, then I'll want to, you know, she'll send me as many pictures as she has, and we'll decide whether or not we can work for her. And if we decide yes, then she'll pick a time to come to LA, and we'll take care of everything else. If her pictures are good, then we'll send them out, and we'll be able to book work for her before she arrives.
Sure.
If they're not good, then I'll plan a photo shoot for her in the first day or two of being in LA, and we start move forward from there.
Yeah.
Whether or not I take a girl doesn't only depend on how attractive she is. Of course, that's probably the first thing I look at. But there are different, there are many different genres within the adult industry.
Sure.
And so a girl doesn't have to be classically beautiful and be Pam Anderson-esque or Carmen Electra. That's, of course, a girl that looks like that will be successful. But there are, you know, there's a lot of work for the younger teen-looking girls.
Sure.
That you might say are cute or whatever, but not classically beautiful necessarily in the same way as you may refer to, for example, a Carmen Electra. And of course, the alt market, what they call alt chick.
Sure.
The sort of gothic looking girls, perhaps with some tattoos. You know, generally the industry doesn't like tattoos, but within that genre, we can get away with quite a bit.
Yeah.
And piercings, you know, we have a few girls with that look on our site. We've done reasonably well with them. That's a popular genre. Mm-hmm. And the MILF market, of course, everyone knows about.
Yeah, blowing off, sure.
Right, is very, very popular right now. So we take a wide range of girls. But as well as what a girl looks like is where her mind is at as far as what she wants to do. And there's two things that I'm looking for. If a girl is interested in making a lot of money, which she potentially can do, because she wants to go to school in 6 months' time or a year's time and she wants to save up money for college, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm really excited if a girl wants to make this a career and wants to, you know, has decided this is what I want to do, then that's the best thing a girl can tell me. But even if she only envisages being in the business for a limited period of time, as long as she's serious about it and, okay, I'm going to work in this business for 6 months or a year and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do the best I can in that time, I'm fine with it.
Has the influx of more and more talent made it tougher on the talent that's there about how often they work and how much money they can make, I would imagine?
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
It has. The talent pool has increased tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
So for producers, of course, you won't hear this from producers.
Right.
But for producers, from the pool of talent that they're able to draw from is increased immeasurably in the 6 years or so that I've been in now.
Yeah.
And not only the number of girls and guys that are available to work, but certainly the quality has increased. Much more attractive girls coming into the business now than there were some years ago.
Right. So that's, I mean, certainly great for you that way. I mean, the more that's out there,
I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure that's true.
Oh, okay.
How do you mean that's great?
Well, just that you have a larger talent pool, and certainly if production is on the rise.
I'm not interested. Yeah. It's for my company, the success is not based on the number of people that we have.
So more just quality and the top girls.
Success is based on the quality of the girls and how they conduct themselves.
Right.
And how their professional behavior and so forth. It's no good having, I'd rather have, you know, two or three Shy Loves and Hannah Harpers that I know are going to go to set and do a great job, and the producer or director is going to call me later and say, it's such a pleasure having those girls on set, than 10 girls that are phoning me with reasons why they can't be on set.
My mother's sick. My car broke down. My crack addict boyfriend needed to get bailed out. Sure. Okay, well, I can appreciate that, certainly. What do you think the future of the industry is now? I mean, is it you know, still growing as it once was? I mean, some people are saying it's slowing down. You know, what's the next thing? I mean, are we hitting a critical mass that it's getting so big it's got to contract a little, or?
Well, I'm not sure I can answer that question in the way you've asked it. I can only answer it in from the perspective of an agent.
Sure.
And of course, I'm aware that many of the companies are telling us that their DVD sales are down, significantly down. But at the same time, from an agent's point of view, I don't see any significant drop in the work that I'm finding for my talent. I'm finding work from more diverse places.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think is that the industry is as vibrant as ever it was.
It's just changing direction.
It's more socially acceptable than ever it was.
Absolutely.
And I saw, actually, I forget where I read an interview once, but recently, Somebody said how acceptable it was, how meaningless it would be if you were on a date and somebody played Girls Gone Wild.
Mm-hmm.
True. True nowadays.
Yeah, right.
Your girlfriend or your date with the Girls
barely
Gone Wild
registers.
Comes on, it would barely register, mm-hmm. right? Whereas perhaps 5-10 years ago and you were on a date, a girl might think that's inappropriate
right.
for you to play on a mm-hmm. on a date. Well, that perhaps is an example. So, you know, I've tried quite hard to find and promote the girls' work that doesn't involve them having sex. So mm-hmm. they have a well-rounded sort of variety of work to do.
Certainly.
Playboy's played a part in that. We've enjoyed working with Playboy for many years now, and it's great to have the girls come here and do a variety of things with them, with the different shows that Playboy produces.
Sure.
Which are often lighthearted and involve some nudity, like Night Calls show, for example.
Yeah.
You know. So I encourage that. I try to do that because I think it keeps the girls interested in, mm-hmm. in the industry, and that's good.
Yeah. Do you find the girls would rather come to? Or I mean, I guess it varies girl to girl, but some would rather come and not do a sex scene on a given day and would rather just do playful nudity kind of stuff. Or, you know, are there certainly those girls like, nah, I just want to get fucked today and don't want to bother with.
Funny enough, there are girls that
yeah.
just want to get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some girls. And they're really, and sometimes they're focused on the money, and they're like, if I go and have sex today, I get paid twice as much as I do to come and do a show at Playboy, so I'd rather go
right.
get fucked.
Okay.
But there are a few, but most would prefer to have the variety,
right.
I think.
Okay.
So to sort of go back to your question, because I veered off a little bit, but I think, you know, there are just different ways that adult content is going to be delivered to the consumer.
Sure.
Obviously, we know that the internet is very strong, and I'm seeing that where a few years ago, when some of the internet companies were coming up, we had girls who were a little bit snobby,
mm-hmm.
who were like, well, I don't want to work for those companies.
Interesting.
Because I want to go work for Vivid, or I mm-hmm. want to work for Wicked. You know, I don't want to work for a little internet company. Well, now, you know, some of those little internet companies are bigger even than some of the,
sure.
some of the, you know, fairly well-known DVD studios. So
yeah.
They're very important, and their work is easy, and their exposure is quick.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a DVD and the studio releases it 3-4 months from now,
yeah.
you shoot for some of these bigger internet companies like Naughty America or Kink.com, they're probably going to put that up within a week or
right.
two. And a lot of people see it quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were talking about the business having the ability to change very quickly. And I mean, this is almost more agile than the automotive industry, where it could take a year and a half to change a design and get it out on the street.
Right.
Where here, suddenly, something could be popular, and the next day, 50 people are making movies doing that, and it's just
right.
out there stuff. So it's very interesting thing to watch just how, you know, it meanders from what's in fashion today and tomorrow and that kind of stuff. Earlier we were talking about the money the talent can make. I mean, what's a good year for a performer, would you say, for a female?
What's a good year? Not as much as some people might think, I don't think. But a good year, like one of my upper sort of tier girls might make somewhere between 200 and 250.
Okay, so that's a respectable year, certainly. No one's gonna scoff at that. And that's working 4 days a week. Is that working?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
averaging 4 or 5 days a week.
Okay,
but not always all sex, like I said.
Sure.
You know, if you're, you know, like if you're like Tory Lane, you know, well-known hardcore
sure.
performer. But, you know, I encourage Tori to do more than just hardcore all the
yeah.
time. You know,
she came in and auditioned for me for a thing or two here, if I recall, over the years, back when I used to work here. So, yeah, absolutely.
You know, somebody like that, that's probably the income range.
Right.
I mean, she's in the upper tier.
Right. Okay, so that's a and guys, we haven't really talked about guys in the business. Yeah,
guys are making better money than they ever did now.
Really,
and they get more respect and they're much more sought after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I saw that a few years ago. Actually, that's not a new thing. That a few years ago, well, you know that I'm a performer, I presume.
Yes.
Myself and several other well-known names like Manuel Ferrara and Eric Everhard and
sure.
and other well-known names, we certainly all saw that there was a turnaround in the business, that it was clear that consumers started to pay attention to who the male performers were when they were buying the product.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Anabolic and Evil Angel and Red Light District, they were the first ones to really figure out we need to lock down the really good guys.
Yeah.
Because the consumer is not, when he thinks this girl is really hot, I think I'm going to buy a DVD with her on it, with whoever it might be, if it's Jessie Jane or Savannah Sampson or whoever it is. It was clear that then they're looking, well, she's with some guy I never heard of and pass. I'd
right.
rather get
huh.
this one because I know if I choose this girl with Manuel Ferrara and Eric Everhart, I'm going to watch a rocking scene.
Yeah.
And so the value of guys changed, I say, like 3 or 4 years ago. And now the rates are not so disparate. I mean, top guys are the rates for the top guys are still less than the girls, but maybe one third less or something.
Okay. Whereas so before it was
maybe a quarter of
yeah.
what the girls made, you know.
And so are you still actively performing now or more focusing on the agency side of things?
I've been focusing on the agency for the last 2 or 3 years,
okay.
but I am still performing.
Okay.
And I do maybe 2 shoots a week.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally
so
3 shoots a week, but mostly like 2 a week, yeah.
Right. So do you work with your clients on that side of the camera as well? Or
I do.
Yeah.
I do sometimes.
That's okay.
a question I've been asked a lot.
I would imagine.
Why people find that particularly, I don't know, interesting. Is that the word?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, if you don't do what you do for a living, it's kind of intriguing to think that, you know, if I worked in a factory that I could hire, you know, someone from the assembly line to fuck me, you know, later, you know, you could get...
Well, it's not me hiring them.
Well, that's true, actually. You're right. Okay, so that's a good point. So you just show up and it could be someone from your agency or another agency.
But, of course, the question always, you know, the question comes up, you know, some girls say that no problem and others say they have a problem. And sometimes I say I prefer
right.
not to.
Sure.
There are... Particularly, you know, when I'm working with the younger girls, by younger I mean, you know, like in the 18 to 22
yeah.
sort of
mm-hmm.
bracket. You know, we have some girls who are particularly important to the agency or particularly special, or if they need a little bit of sort of extra help, a little bit of extra management.
Right.
If I need to do that with them, then I may feel like that's a line I don't want to cross.
Got it.
It, more so with the younger girls.
Okay.
Because I can occasionally be looked at as a little bit of a father figure that, you know,
mm-hmm.
in some instances, perhaps the first time that somebody's really sort of given them set guidelines and said, this can happen like this and it can't happen like that.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And so you don't want to confuse that with, even though it's in a professional scenario to shoot a sex scene, you don't want to bring sex into that equation.
Do you find some of the newer talent has it must be very different from going and having recreational sex in your personal life to suddenly having sex professionally? And you know, is there some hurdle the girls need to get past, the new talent? Do you see any kind of thinking that sex means more than it should if it's, you know, on camera sex or something like that? Is there any talent issues there or anything? My long convoluted question.
There is. You said it's a loaded question.
No, convoluted. Just
convoluted. Yeah, I think I know what you're asking.
Yeah.
There are issues both physically and mentally. Physically, interestingly, new girls coming into the business, we have to be very careful how we schedule them and not schedule too many scenes back to back. In other words, not too many days in a row. And usually it'll be what, a shoot a day off, a shoot a day off, two shoots a day off.
Right.
Very, very spaced. The sex on camera is much more involved, more physically demanding, longer than than most people have sex. If you have, you know, sometimes girls surprise me, you know, like when I ask a 18-year-old, 19-year-old girl, oh, you're fine with anal? Yes. Oh, you fine to do DP? Yes. I said, have you ever done a DP? Yes.
You're thinking, what's going on out there
in
the world?
My teenage years, I never came close to a DP. Mm-hmm. Like, what 19-year-olds are doing DPs in a private life? But, you know, usually having sex for 45 minutes to an hour and a quarter is longer than people have sex in their private life, and in most cases more strenuous. So it's kind of like an athlete's body. After a while, they become used to it. But in the beginning, we have to be careful, because if you push a new girl too quickly, you know, she'll get tired and sore and so on, and so we have to be careful with that. Emotionally, of course, it's quite something to decide that you're going to be a porn star, to have sex on camera, to have sex in front of people. So that takes a little bit of getting used to, and sometimes girls think they are fine with it and they do a couple of shoots and then they're not so fine with it.
I was wondering that as well, if there's an attrition, you know, that there's I imagine a certain percentage thinks it's for them and does just a little bit and then probably just vanish.
There are some. I mean, we try to be careful to who we're placing them with in the early weeks and months, you know. Certainly not going to put a brand new girl with one of the harder edge gonzo companies, you know. I'm probably going to try and put her something relatively easy on, softer, like, you know, one of the perhaps internet companies or someone, you know, that I know is going to be just straightforward.
Right, and kind of more easygoing and not so slam.
Mr. South, whom I respect greatly, but he's one of his first phone calls for new girls was Max Hardcore.
Oh, that's a good, if you can survive that. Yeah.
So my business plan was, let's not call Max first. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to work.
Okay. Well, on that fine note, we are out of time. Derek, I want to thank you so much for coming in today. Any closing remarks? Anything you want to say?
No, thank you very much. It was fun talking to you.
Absolutely.
Today.
I am Gary Gray, filling in for Julie Ashton here on Hey Julie, only on Julieland.com. Thank you. We'll be right back.